Good evening, ladies and degenerates. Welcome to, or hopefully welcome back to the Steaming Pile of Picks podcast. It is Thursday, November 3rd, 2022. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm here with America's absolute favorite handicapper, none other than Uncle Damn Steve. Uncle Steve, can you believe we're sitting in November, winding down the last few weeks of college football and halfway through the NFL season? How are you, brother?
I'm doing good, Maddie. You know what November means? Maction.
Maction. Yes.
28 straight days of football on TV. Beautiful thing.
You can't beat those Tuesday and Wednesday 6 p.m. kickoffs. You gotta get your bets in early on those.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, for our regular listeners, you know the deal. Steve and I get together every Wednesday evening or Thursday sometimes, as schedules have it. Kick some knowledge about the weekend slate of NFL and college games. We do our research, analyze the trends, coaches, weather, and give you the picks to take to the window. The only issue, as a general rule, we do a really shitty job at it. In the last 2 weeks, for example, including some action on Tuesday night this week, we are 9-22-1. Quick math on that is 29%. But if you went against us on every one of those picks, you'd be sitting at 71% the last 2 weeks. So that's pretty decent clip, isn't it, Steve?
Every time.
Every single
Every
time.
time we take it.
We are in true midseason form. And each week, to spice things up a bit, we invite guest pickers to provide some insight. And tonight's no different. However, it's a little different, as tonight's guest picker is a return guy. He was here last year. We've got Wade from Madrid, Nebraska, giving us tips on cashing some tickets for the Breeders' Cup horse racing. Wade, how are we tonight out in western Nebraska?
Well, I'm doing good, fellas. It's good to be back. And my God, you guys gave your percentages. I'm not good at math, but 66% of the time it works every time. That's good enough for me.
That's our motto, brother. That is our motto. Absolutely. Okay, you're sitting in western Nebraska. The cold front's hit. You're already in the 30s out there, I hear.
Yeah, we're in the 30s and there's snowflakes flying out at Olean and Paxton, Nebraska.
All right. Well, that's a good spot. So, Wade, we're going to let you roll with some stories and tips on Breeders' Cup weekend. Go ahead, man.
All right. Well, thanks, Matt, and thanks, Stevie, for you guys having me back. And I want to start out. I'm going to give one pick for tomorrow's card. As you guys know, Breeders' Cup now is a 2-day event, and they've toyed with kind of the structure and layout of how it works, but now it's pretty much younger horses, 2 and 3 year olds run on Friday, and then the older horses, male and female, on Saturday. But there's some good storylines to the Breeders' Cup this year, and one of them is it happens to be tomorrow, the sixth race, which is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, and there's an Iowa bred. There's an Iowa bred going 5.5 furlongs for $1 million, and the horse's name is Tyler's Tribe. He's 15-1 morning line, and his granddad, well, the horse is named after Tyler Jewell, and the little boy's 8 years old and he's battling leukemia, and his grandfather Tom Lippick named the horse Tyler's Tribe. Because he figured with the bad luck that the family had been having, he wanted to spread a little good luck. So, since naming the horse Tyler, this little gelding has reeled off 5 in a row. He's never been headed, meaning there's never been a horse in front of him once the gate opens. And the only curveball that he'll face tomorrow is, he's going 5.5 furlongs on a surface he's never ran on. He's going from dirt to turf. Guys who are good at handicapping and look at bloodlines, a lot of guys like betting a dirt to turf angle. Stevie, I know you like that angle, don't you?
Yeah, I look at it a lot.
So this one's a little different. He's obviously stepped foot on the turf course at Keeneland, so it's not going to be foreign to him. He's out of a stallion named Sharp Azteca, which likes the turf, out of a mare by Mission Impossible or Impossible, which also can run dirt or turf. So the breeding is there. The story is great. So I'm rooting for this little gelding, 15-1 morning line. Certainly has to beat the two horse Love Reigns. And then another long shot I really like with it is 20-1 number 8 American Apple, out of Triple Crown winning American Pharaoh, which his stuff's been hot and it will run dirt or turf no problem. So that's just kind of an inspirational fun pick for tomorrow if you guys listening or playing.
Absolutely. This, get work.
Yeah. Go ahead, Stevie. You have something?
No, I was writing some stuff down here.
Being yeah, so the other one.
Yeah. One of the better handicappers around, I'll follow you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's a hunch bet, Stevie, but certainly, you know, little Tyler, and I forgot to mention he's out of his name's Tyler Jewell. His grandfather's name's Tom Lippick. But he lives in Iowa City. Iowa, and he's battling leukemia. So, you know, it's you can't help but root for them and hope that Tyler's tribe hits the board.
Absolutely, both reasons.
Easy one to root for.
Yeah, absolutely. The other one that's just a heartstring story. It's going tomorrow. It's in the Dirt Mile, and it's the fifth race at Keeneland. It's number 7, Cody's Wish. And Cody's Wish is named after a little fella, 16 years old, 14 at the time of naming, named Cody Dorman. And I don't know what Wolf, I think it's Hirschborn syndrome. I have no idea what that is, only to know that it's bad. And if it's got 3 letters in its name, you probably don't want it. But anyway, this little guy was in the Make-A-Wish Foundation and Keeneland hooked him up with Godolphin's Claiborne Farm, and he got to go do a horse tour because he likes horses. And the farm manager, when he was looking at, you know, introducing this little boy to some foals, you know, two yearling colts are particularly high strung, and seeing someone that's wheelchair bound, Cody can't speak, he's nonverbal, and he's in a wheelchair. So, you know, you imagine a horse seeing, you know, they're shy of people at that age, let alone someone that's in a contraption. Sure. So they picked out this Godolphin yearling that was out of curling, and because he was intelligent and he was laid back. And the funny thing was, when Cody's Wish met Cody, they hit it off right away. The horse is smelling him, and which is just unusual, you know, me growing up around horses and livestock, that doesn't happen. So they formed a bond, and they named the horse Cody's Wish, trained by Billy Mott. The horse has a pedigree. He has everything that it would take to win the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And so rooting for him. He's not a long shot by any stretch of the imagination, but he is 5-2 morning line. So one that for, you know, your fans to look at and certainly root for. Just a great story. And, you know, honestly, guys, we can talk about sports all day long, but it's when you add the human element that makes it special, I think. So whether that be horse racing or any sport.
It does, man. That's good stuff. All right. I've got that down for sure. I'll be rooting and watching both.
Stevie, you got anything in that race that you like?
I haven't really looked. I've been pretty busy here last week or so. So
yeah,
well, my handicapping is going to be tomorrow and Saturday morning.
Yeah, I hear you. One tip I will give you guys before we get to the big races. You know, I got some connections down in Lexington at Keeneland, and what I'm hearing is the track is very deep. And when I say deep, it just means that it's going to be tiring. And so the farther you go on the dirt Friday and Saturday, if some of these horses shipping in from places that run on shallower surfaces or faster tracks, they're going to find the going very, very grueling, very tiring. So just keep that in mind. Also, when you look at the turf, you know, it's now getting fall or winter time. We're on the cusp of winter time. They've left the turf course very long and shaggy, right? Just to protect not only the grass, but if you start mowing it now, you're not getting the regrowth. So the same thing could be said about the turf. It's going to look good. It's going to be lush, but it's going to be a little, it'll be firm, but it's going to be a little softer going than a normal firm turf course based on the time of year and the conditions. So just keep that in mind when you're handicapping.
Good insight for sure. It's like a Northwestern home football game.
Yeah. You know, when they're not letting the goats graze on that course, you know, or doing a car show or something on it. Yeah, you're exactly
Softens
right.
Up. Yeah. All right. What about the next races?
Yeah, let's look at the eighth, which is the Breeders' Cup Turf Mile. I think there's some value in here. You know, my thing is I toss the favorites. You know, I'm not going to – in a big field, why, you know, these horses are facing horses they're never going to face again. They're facing conditions they're never going to face again with shipping and some of the stuff that comes along with the Breeders' Cup. So I look for Annapolis, which is the number 11. It's 10-1 morning line. You have one of the world's best turf sires, Warfront. This colt's a son of his out of an unbridled Song mare. It's been on the course before. It's won on the course. I don't think we'll get 10-1. I hope we do, but that's the bet. And I'm going to put it with the number 4, Modern Games. It's Charlie Appleby coming over from Europe, from England more specifically, with William Buick up. That's the horse we have to beat. So I'm looking at an 11-4 exacta for the Breeders' Cup Turf Mile.
Now, is that Saturday or Friday?
That's on Saturday. Everything now is Saturday.
Okay.
There was some stuff on the undercard I looked at, Stevie, that I kind of liked. But, you know, it's hard enough to pick winners in Breeders' Cup, let alone when you start talking two-year-olds and, you know, some three-year-olds. But I kind of gravitated more toward the big ones.
Right.
Gotcha. I think there's some value.
Perfect.
So looking at the ninth, which is the Breeders' Cup Distaff, meaning it's for fillies and mares 3 years old and up. The horse to beat in here, it's no secret. If you turn on the coverage tomorrow, they're going to be talking about Nest pretty much nonstop. She's 9-5 morning line. There's nothing to knock about her. But what I will say, you know, growing up around racing and just watching it my entire life, running three-year-olds versus older horses, as you get later in the year, it makes less of a difference, but it still, there's a difference. And you have Ness, who's, like I said, nothing to knock against her, but she's running against a four-year-old mare, Malathat, that has faced, you know, the biggest and baddest on the block and has beat them. And, you know, going a mile and an eighth, going, like I said, you know, on a deeper course, I think that's going to show up. So I look for Malathat number 1 over Nest number 6 in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. There's some other ones that could get a piece of it late, but that's who I'm looking at. I think if I were to add something to pick up the pieces later on, I'd probably have to throw on Steve Asmussen's number 4 Clarier, if you want to round out a trifecta. I think that'd be a pretty good shot.
Nice.
The old 1-4-6. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they'll be tough. I think the 1-4 is pretty tight. You know, I'll leave it up to you guys and your listeners to figure out who to put on top. But for my money, I'm going to put the older, more experienced mare. The one hole's she's going to get a nice trip. So
nice.
That's the way we'll go. Looking at the Breeders' Cup turf, you know, they're going a mile and a half. You got a bunch of Euros coming in that have raced against, you know, the best turf horses in the world. I think, again, I'm going right back to Charlie Appleby. I mentioned him earlier. In one of the turf races, he's arguably the best trainer on the lawn there is. And number seven, Nation's Pride is who I'm going to go with. It's still a good value. It's 7-2. You're getting 3.5-1. I think late there will be some horses coming to try to pick up the pieces. But that's a beautiful thing about Nation's Pride. He'll be laying right there near the lead or just off of it. Now, the knock against him is he is a three-year-old colt going against older horses. So I'll leave that up to you guys to figure it out. There's also a mare, Warlike Goddess, at 9-2, Billy Mott, Joel Rosario. I like her, but I just think that she's catching the toughest field she'll ever face. And Nation's Pride has already faced older before and ran tough. So that's the way I'm looking at it. Stevie, you got anything on that one that you looked at?
Nope. I do like Rosario. I'm one of the best turf jockeys out there.
Yeah, without question. He's got a clock in his head, they say, right?
Yep. Knows when to charge.
Yeah. Now the big one, the Breeders' Cup Classic. They've got Flightline in here at 3-5. You're not going to get 3-5. I bet you'd be lucky to get 2-5 on Flightline. 4-year-old colt out of Tappet, out of an Indian Charlie mare. There's nothing not to like about Flightline, except the fact that you're 4 years old and you've only, had, five lifetime starts. That tells me that the horse is fragile. He's obviously had some foot problems that are well documented, but I think there's more to it than that, honestly, because when these people pay the money that they paid for Flightline and the horse has the breeding he has, you would think by this time he would have at least double, if not triple, that many starts. So again, the horse has only raced at Santa Anita, Del Mar, and one time at Belmont. And now is shipping to Kentucky where he's going to get cool weather. He's going to run on a deep surface and he's going to go a mile and a quarter, which he's only done one time. For me, there's just too much stacked against him to lay my money on him. So I'm going to take some chances and I'm going to go with number seven, Olympiad. He's 10-1 morning line. He's had an out at Keeneland, albeit last year, but he's rounding into really good form and just comes off a win at Saratoga, which is also a very deep and grueling track. And he won at a mile and a quarter and faced some good horses. So I love Bill Mott as a conditioner. I think he's a horse whisperer. I think he's the best trainer that's out there. If you look at something to partner it with, I think Epicenter, again, awesome blood with Not This Time out of a Candy Ride mare. Steve Asmussen, what else needs to be said about Stevie? He's the all-time winningest trainer. You're getting him at 5-1. And then another horse that just does everything right. He covers any surface. He ships all over America and always fires. It's Hot Rod Charlie at 15-1. So I'm going to take those three and scramble them and play some exotics. I'll play some Exacta boxes and some tri boxes. But I just think Flightline, I think he's a brilliant horse. Listen, fellas, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets a half mile and 45 and change and still has something in the tank and wins it. Wow. It wouldn't surprise me, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think that a lot is being asked of him. And I think he's so lightly raced that it's hard to keep a horse in a mile and a quarter classic condition just doing it at three tracks and only five lifetime starts.
Right. Pretty green.
It's and the funny thing, I don't know, Stevie, if you've read this or heard of it, but he's going to go to the Keeneland sale. They're auctioning 2.5% of Flightline off at the Keeneland sale, which will happen after the races are over. I believe it starts on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
So I'll be really curious to see what that 2.5% brings.
Bring his checkbook.
It's too rich for my blood. I know that, but it's an interesting. There's some interesting storylines, tomorrow and Saturday, and Absolutely. It's just I think it's hey man, this is the Daytona 500 or the Super Bowl of racing. I don't care what anyone says. They can say it's Triple Crown or Derby, but it's Breeders' Cup. You know, you're going to see some of the best horses in the world on dirt and turf, and it's just fun that they rotated around America to different tracks and always the first weekend in November. So
yep, looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And we'll make you a standing guest picker first Wednesday or Thursday of November to break it down for us. This is good stuff, Wade.
I love it, Matt. That'd be awesome. You guys just let me know anytime.
All right. Well, get back into Ollie's and have a couple beers, and we will get on the races for the weekend.
Awesome, guys.
All right, Wado. Thank you, sir.
Take care,
brother. All right, guys. We'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, Uncle Steve, we got our work cut out for us.
Yeah. Wado's one of the best handicappers around. I think he qualified for the national handicap in the finals, actually, this year. So he knows his stuff.
Yep. Let's drop and – oh, there he is. I dropped away. All right, man. Well, gosh, we do have our work on it. It makes our football takes seem a little shallow, maybe. All right, man. Are you going to start us off for the
– I'll start us off.
We're
going to start off in Norman, Oklahoma. 2 o'clock game here. We got 3.5 and 61 is the over-under on this. Baylor, Oklahoma.
Yep.
Got two coaches that have been known for defense. Problem is neither team has played a lot of defense this year. Their offenses are both scoring at high clips too. Oklahoma went through that little 3-game skid, whatever, but they seem to be picking it back up. Gabriel's back, and I think this game goes over the total of 61.5. It's going to be a shootout, I believe.
Over 61.5 and not a lot of defense. I think that's probably a safe bet there. Well, I'm going to start out. Duke is a 10-point favorite at Boston College. Duke coming into this game following a bye week and a huge win the week before that in Miami against the Hurricanes. Blew the Hurricanes out as 10-point dogs as we watched from afar in Vegas and ripped up tickets, I'm sure. Boston College is coming off 3 straight losses, including a loss last week to UConn as that dirty 7-point favorite. Mm. So BC is tied for the worst in the country against the spread. At 1-7 on the season. Duke, on the other hand, they're doing all right. They are 5-3 against the spread. So 1-7 or 5-3, I'm taking the 5-3 every week. I'm taking Duke minus 10. Where are you at next?
Duke minus 10. Yeah. Oh, we're going to head down to Athens, Georgia.
Big game.
2:30. 8 and 66.5 is what I've seen
earlier
today. I don't know. This game, I'd look back and forth. They're just winning. They've played some bad games, and then they've played some really good games. I think this comes down to the offense of Tennessee against the defense here, because I think Georgia can score a little bit.
Yes.
Whether they can stop Tennessee or not. Tennessee's defense is still a little suspect, but I'm going to go with Tennessee on this. 8 points in this type of game seems a little high to me. So I'll take the 8 and take Tennessee.
Taking the 8, number one team in the country, an 8-point dog. Probably should take that, right?
That's what they say.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with a game that Friday night game, another Friday, I guess my Duke game's tomorrow night too. So a second Friday night game, I'm going to go with the UMass at UConn game, of which no one will attend, and probably no one but maybe you and I will watch. Don't look now, Uncle Steve, but Jim Mora Jr., I guess we don't call him Junior, but he's got UConn playing some decent football. In October, in the month of October, they were 3-1 straight up, and yes, 4-0 against the number. UMass, on the other hand, is trending the other way. They've lost 5 straight, and in October, they were 1-3 against the spread. On the season, UMass is 3-5 against the spread, and here's the stat that's going to blow your mind. UConn is the third best team in the country against the number, 7-2. But you know where I'm going. Give me UConn minus 15.5. Yeah, I just said that. I know.
I think that's twice this year. You picked UConn as a favorite.
It is. And guess what? They're 7-2. So that's pretty successful. Except I probably picked them on the 2 losses. All right. Where are you at, man?
We're going down to Manhattan, Kansas. K-State versus Texas. We got Texas this game by 2.5. Over under 54.5. That's a 6 o'clock kick. Texas, they've had some momentum, and then they got tripped up against Oklahoma State a couple weeks ago, who lost to K-State last week 49-0.
In a bad way.
Even though Texas is coming off a bye week, Manhattan's always a tough place to play. I'm going to take the Cats plus 2.5.
There you go. Taking the dog at home. All right. Well, I'm going to go Florida State minus 7.5 at Miami. Knowles, Canes, Miami, Saturday night. Sparks a little bit of nostalgia from the days of old. This one, though, maybe not so much. They're both 500 or a game over 500 teams. Both offenses are pretty potent. Florida State's averaging 500 yards a game. Miami, 450. Miami had a week off to think about the aforementioned beatdown by Duke at home. And Florida State is coming off a beatdown of Georgia Tech. But where are the trends here? Florida State is 5-3 this season, which is decent. They're 2-0 on the road. Miami, they are tied with Boston College as the worst team in the nation against the spread at 1-7. The Canes are 1-7 this year against the spread. So I'm going to take that trend, and I'm going to take the Noles at minus 7.5.
All right.
Back at you.
All right. We're going to go to another 6 o'clock game on Saturday night. We got Alabama minus 13.5 at LSU.
Baton Rouge.
56. Night game, which equals a great environment down there.
Yes.
Bama's coming off a bye week where they get some of their players healthy. They've been hurt a little bit. The offense hasn't clicked real good this year for them. So I think they got some things figured out. LSU, they've been playing some good ball the last month, but I got Nick giving Brian Kelly a nice welcome to the SEC. Bama by 20 in this one.
Covering that thing easily, huh? All right. I am going to go with a game that's close to our hearts. Gophers head into Lincoln, Nebraska for an elimination game in the Big 10 West for the loser. And even the winner is going to need some help winning the West. This game is also pivotal game for the Nebraska Cornhuskers for bowl purposes. Sitting on 3 wins, they drop this game. They'll need wins against Michigan, Wisconsin, and Iowa, all 3, which we know Michigan's going to be a tough task, to just be bowl eligible. So I looked at the history of this series. Since 1963, Nebraska leads the series 19-6. But since the arrival of you-know-who, PJ and his boat and his really short pants, the Gophers are 4-1 in the last 5, including 2 beatdowns in Minneapolis that I had to witness in person. This game opened at 12.5. It's jumped all the way to 16. It's probably going to go down a point, maybe gets to 14.5. I doubt it gets below 2 scores. Probably mainly due to the quarterback situation at Nebraska. Sounds like they might go with maybe the 3rd stringer. Nebraska stinks against the spread. They're 2nd worst in the country. At 2-6, and in Lincoln, they're 1-4. Nebraska's defense is porous against the run, so I think Mo Abraham and Trey Potts are going to run for about 350, and Husker fans are going to have nightmares of Melvin Gordon and Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin. PJ is also 64% against the number in his career. And he's going to maintain that number. I'm taking the Gophers at minus 16. I'd be more comfortable with 1.5, but I'm going to take them at 16 too. I think 20-point win, 24 maybe, in Lincoln.
Yeah.
I know.
Scotty's rolling over now.
He is. All right. Last game. I assume you're going to our lovely NFL.
Yeah, we're going to give this one a look. The Chargers and Falcons. Chargers are favored by 3. Over-under is 49. Both teams putting up points. I think they're getting more respect than they deserve. I think just because their quarterback, but he's been injured all year. The old West Coast to East Coast game here. I think that might actually play in. I hate that angle, but I'm playing that angle this week. I'm going the Falcons plus 3.
Falcons plus 3. Although they stink, they are the tied for the best team in the NFL against the spread this year at 6-2. So there you go. Falcons plus 3. All right, I will also end with the NFL, and I'm just going to stay with Minnesota teams. I watched the Vikings on Sunday in person dismantle the Cardinals. They're going out to D.C. to face the Commanders. Revenge time for Kirk Cousins, gets to face his old team. He's got himself a brand new shiny tight end. It's not a night game. So Kirk Cousins covers this all day long. I'm going to take the Vikings covering 3.5 against the Commanders. Anything else from you, brother?
No, just a quick little update on our Circa Millions for the quarter. Oh. We're 1,556 out of 4,680.
Okay.
And year-to-date. Year to date, we're 22-32.
Oh, it's dead in the middle.
About right there in the middle, yeah.
There we go. Yes, we've had a couple of rough weeks, but we did have 4-1 that messed up our last place standing.
Yeah. We'll get that turned around.
We will. Absolutely, we will. All right, man. Well, it's been real. We had some good stuff this week. And don't forget to give us a follow on Twitter @PilePicks. Don't forget to go to our website, steamingpileofpicks.com. There's links to the shows. There's the stats on the year, who to follow, who not to follow. Is Uncle Steve hot the last couple of weeks or not? Give that a look. And as they say in the investment world, past performance is not always a guarantee of future results. But as they say in the real world, when you step in it, if it looks like it and it smells like it, it's probably it. Good night and good luck.